been thinking, he's been flying all night from Minnesota.
So he's going.
Oh no, he's going. But he's been thinking that with the minor stir that, you know, on the Nickel book and everything, that my thought as to whether it would be a good idea for him to write a book.
Good.
Saying, he said, I believe so deeply in this man and what he's doing right. He said, there's a hell of a lot of things I can't say as a cabinet officer, but that I could sure say as a citizen.
Good. Also
about service in the Nixon cabinet.
There's a chance maybe you should get some publishing, maybe make some money. Make a few bucks, $30,000-$40,000.
He said, of course, I need some help. I can't write well myself now, but I think it's a good idea.
Sure, that could help.
And we get somebody
who can write fast, and he could write it. Must let their head up on something where we have such an objective case, that's my point, sir.
we should deny it on some of those that in a...
Oh, just say it's a security and
a requirement.
How they killed one president and one presidential candidate.
And they, this, the New Republic story actually played it that way. They did play it really very well.
What did they keep out of there? They keep out.
There were some bombs.
There was a demonstrator group that they knew was coming.
It was a, they had an advanced intelligence plan. It was a group of hippie types, and they kept them out. They when the group arrived, they had signs and beards and all that kind of stuff, and they wouldn't let them in. And we've done that at
Well, come to think about it, maybe we should do that.
And maybe
we should, at that sort of event.
What the hell?
The point is the people that are there, we're trying to let
not disrupt
and disrupt a meeting. No, I think we ought to speak, say yes to that. But I think the crowds on the streets are rather than the
streets. That's the
beyond you could anything.
Or the airport fence and, you know,
you cannot allow people to disturb, to break up a meeting.
But
just like, frankly, the arrest here in Washington, I wouldn't worry about it, maybe. But I'd write a letter about this.
Yeah, how
we've been around the country.
Now there, I'm sure, it's again, the thing is, it's, there's been so much written about the fact that you are out, that you do get the big crowds. The enthusiasm that you plow into them, and all the picture stuff that's around everything that frosts the people who don't like us to get that stuff. And we get the thing played back. And, you know, they'll try to create a myth that all our crowds are sterilized, and that's what they were trying to do in this one. But the New Republic article said very clearly that they had looked into it, and it was absolutely clear that this was not the Nixon advancement or anybody involved with the Nixon party. It was the Air Force security people who had kept these people out. Now, goddamn it, they're entitled to do that.
Sure.
Any military base keeps
people. Well, also, they didn't want people in there who were going to disrupt the other people on a special day.
That's right.
But they dedicated to ceremony. I'm for that. And we're going to have to play that pretty hard anyway. Well, I said that at the beginning, and also I already have a vice president. Is it true that Muskie then alive?
Yeah, right. And Muskie suited up again.
I saw that. Where he said he meant this year, but maybe not.
He couldn't elect one this year, but maybe he could next year. The poor guy, it's just, you know, he just keeps shoving it. He keeps screwing it up, which is exactly
what he surely is.
Well, that one sure screws it up. I think. It keeps it a lot.
Are you sure that there's, you know, I mean, all these, I remember you saying, I'm not impressed.
A few guys.
A few names.
Awesome. Also, some of them are jackals, you know, they'll, even though they don't want to help you, they want to help Teddy or they want to help, McGovern or something like that, you know, so they, a lot of them yapping at Muskie's heels. That's sort of fortunate in the Democratic side, that whoever gets out front, there'll be some people yapping at it.
Muskie said it actually could appeal to the South. You know, that's his whole thing. He's being great, but he's the Southern candidate, you know, the others.
The thing that the insider's newsletter type thing is pushing out is that Kennedy Mills ticket. That's really what's being maneuvered here. Which explains all of Mills' operation.
Mills? Oh, Kennedy.
That's the period.
You cannot say it makes it a policy.
about that, they'll get by saying, well, they changed by name. I think sure they're gonna put on, if they, the blacks, I would think, would put on L, I think that, to demand a commitment that there would be a black vice president as the price for not going with a black candidate. I think they'll go with the black candidate. The indications are, our guy, Murray's guy, talked with John Conyers for the first time. And Conyers is quite sincere. And their point is, they know they won't get anywhere. But he says, I think we'll pick up 2-3 million votes. He says, that ain't bad for the first time around here. Well, that's what Conyers says. And they think, and he asked them who they thought of, saw as a candidate, and he said Julian Bond or Stokes or Chisholm, the woman. And how do you look at the effort that the socialists and the communists have made to run government? Candidates, it isn't inconceivable that the blacks would mobilize to put one in. You could get a black candidate and a Latino candidate.
Yeah.
And even if they only take a million or two votes apiece.
I was noticing that Detroit News poll, and Michigan is really our soft spot in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Polls is down now.
Yeah.
What do you think the hell a lot you can do about it?
I don't think we should even try.
I don't either.
I mean, we acquired Michigan twice.
Yeah.
Leave Michigan as part of the general country.
Yeah,
if you try everything, you
go all out. You don't want Michigan to infect Ohio too much. That's the problem. But Ohio and Illinois, you just go for those that you can really go for. Let them go for theirs. We spent a lot of time in Michigan in 1680. And 16. First 16, we didn't miss it far.
It's a hard state to campaign in, too, which is a...
It's Detroit, not state.
Another problem.
I know. However, it could be taken. It's not out of the question. These polls are extremely volatile at this
point. Oh, yeah.
They just don't. How we vote for this and that. Michigan at the present time is reflecting its high unemployment. They're goddamn high up there, shouldn't they?
Yeah. I mean, an effort in New York, than in Michigan.
I would too.
I think you got, first place is to...
Well, the main thing in the dark is that we've got to really do, and I guess John has this in mind when I'm talking about it. We've got to get the conservatives. They're the key to New York. Not Rocky's people, but the conservatives.
Yeah, but Rocky's organization working with us, plus
yeah,
for conservatives.
Like Kemp says, he thinks we would, but the conservatives says we can carry it against his will. Well, I think we could, particularly if the Democrats have a third, if there's just another party in there, that's what you need.
Marvelous.
Any other party helps us in New York. Donovan was there. So many radicals.
Well, that was quite a detailed poll of Red Blunt's taken in Alabama. He brought in yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
That he's using, you know, trying to make his own decision. And, well, you look good down there.
What does it show?
It shows in a three-way race with Muskie, you, and Wallace. It shows you a point and a half behind Wallace's hog.
And Muskie not?
And well, Muskie doesn't even, you know, he's like 12%.
You could win that then.
You're 31.5, Wallace is 33, and he's 12 or something.
It's a lot better than it was in
community. The Democrat, none of the Democrats, Hubert does, picks up a little bit. Hubert does better than Muskie. Teddy does very badly. With Wallace out, you win. You beat Muskie. I mean, Wallace. With Wallace out, you beat the Democrat. Whoever it is, by a substantial margin.
You know, the liberals are trying to sell, and you heard that John Conn into this, that the idea that, and this is one place where it's just hit wrong, that
what's your view on the Wallace? Obviously, Wallace out. There's the state of Alabama on the street. But Blunt says his view is, and that is Jimmy Allison, who's in with him and has been working with this stuff, that they're, that Alabama would be Wallace's strongest state, and there you are just a freckle behind him in a three-way race. In other words, you could carry Alabama in a three-way race. You win hands down without any question in a two-way race, without Wallace in. If that's true in Alabama, their view is that it's more true in every other southern state. In other words, if you come that close in Alabama in a three-way race, you'll carry the rest of the South in a three-way race. And you will sweep the South in a two-way race.
Well, my point goes,
you could ignore the three-way race, two-way race.
If you get Wallace up, that's what I mean. Two-way race means we sweep the South, which is very important. And in our, I just don't buy this idea.
Either, I said directly, what happens in the North then? If you have Wallace out, it looks like you sweep it. You win the South either way, with Wallace in or out, except right back. With him out, what happens to you up there? And he laughed and he said, don't buy that stuff. The only reason Wallace did us any good in the North was in the early part of the campaign. He cut into the blue collar.
Yeah.
When the labor unions, who weren't very bright, when Meany didn't realize that threat until fairly late, moved in, he undercut it, and he damn near got you elected as a result. This time, and Meany, he said, Meany's talked to him about this, because they've talked about Southern politics and stuff, and Meany's laughed, and he said, you know, we ain't let that little guy stick his head up again like he did last time.
He didn't know that Wallace, do he?
That's his point.
That's my point, too.
And therefore, Wallace running will not help you in the North, because it won't siphon off blue collar.
There's a great thing to do to get Wallace out.
I said, asked him if he thought Wallace was going to run. He said that it's touch and go. He's you can't tell. He does clearly still love the stuff. And his new wife does. She likes campaigning and the glory. But he's had a hell of a time with the legislature. He used to have ironclad whip hand control. Now he doesn't have it. They're whipping him instead. He's got all of his best staff people have left. He had a fundraiser in Nashville, which was supposed to be a very big thing. It raised very little money. And that discouraged him. In other words, he saw that his appeal wasn't there, that he used to have. He used to be able to go out and really cram him up with those things. This one didn't happen that way. And so there's that. Now, how do you get him out?
Well, let's talk about our money and something with it, about our $2 million, et cetera. You have put the word out there to Kalmbach. Our goal has changed now. We want to get all the goddamn money we can. In other words, I don't this business of $3 million is not.
No, Kalmbach's got on $10 million.
And whatever way that would be.
And but that's just, you know, his preliminary money.
But I mean,
Kalmbach is not the guy to be the money raiser.
Money, loose money. Well, I mean, I'm getting these big. But I mean, suppose you had been $2 million, which is possible. So you could have lost $5 million. Do you mind my point?
Sure. I think it's worth $3 million to support McCarthy and Bob. I think that's the game. The game should be a lot more cynical than it's been. We just haven't been that. Not the congressional races have done for years. Congressional candidates always put in. Norris Olson, who is of course a pleasant favorite, but Norris always had six candidates running against him.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
He never failed Bob. And he went in a Democratic district. Well, that's a realistic opportunity presidentially this time, I think.
Yeah.
McCarthy is clearly realistic. And I think a Block's realistic. If they got the dough, they'd do it. Get started. They got to get started putting themselves on the ballot. And just the fact of them getting started, getting qualified, will screw the Democratic planning up badly enough that it'll give us some problems now, too.
Now, I noticed that we sure have a Melissa Gard. Very interesting piece on the aggressive Congress. He really cut it up, didn't he? You know, isn't it interesting how we, the editorial thing is so different from that. I mean, you've got the media. Basically, there you really separated the lefties from the moderate calls. You've got the Chicago Sun-Times. Well, that's liberal, but fair, normally fair. I mean, they're out in the country. Now, Miami Herald is mid-liberal, but fair. Philadelphia are liberal, but fair. And, you know, sort of fair, and they're generally against this. But my point is, isn't it interesting, though, that you get the litmus test liberals like this cigar. Every time they come up this way, don't they?
Yeah. Yet he wrote a really good piece on the press conference.
Did he?
Yep. Of course, that's because he likes the anonymous press conference.
What did you say about that? I didn't see it.
It was the, you know, said you, how productive it was that he covered the ground, very good answers, staff, you know, cleared up specific questions. Well, it's sort of, I mean, it was very positive. Sort of background piece on the press conference.
Rather than just reporting.
Yeah. Well, he had done a reporting piece too, but this was a separate.
Was that in the news?
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
I don't want to read that.
It's probably not today. It may have been yesterday.
Pretty goddamn high. I mean, that's like they're, you know, like our first.
solid, oh, was it quite effective? Well, you asked that, I'm not sure, online, but...
Well, to be chairman of the board of regents, and I could think Reagan would be glad to give me to the court, don't you think that'd be a big thing for Reagan?
I would think so.
You'd have to do it through Reagan, you know, right to him, and say, yeah, right, because he's saying, on the ground, this is a chance for you, Reagan gets the credit. Jesus Christ, we're gonna have a Californian.
And you know who he's married to?
I know, a wonderful girl. I mean, his, I knew the wife, the husband, assistant secretary of the air, Vaughn, and she is fucking nice.
She really is.
I think it's been back here. Anyway,
she'd be a great gal to have around Washington. She's, I remember, she was the national president of the junior league and all that kind of stuff. She's been very big.
She was a good supporter of ours when Charles Ray Vaughn, when he was here.
And I bet she'd like to come back to Washington. I would think she'd.
Now, I think also, I must say that Weinberger's...
I think he's out of 50.
I can't... Weinberger's a better possibility, in my view, for the reason that... basically, because I know he'd be a good judge. Now, I don't know whether... I don't know that he's much of a political asset to have him there. I think a lot of people think he'd be liberal. But he...
First decision would set a line, as long as he made the commitment to you on busing, and he would. Cap is an
honest man.
Well, he's an honest man, but he's also a lord. I mean, he'll deal.
Well,
you can't write. If you call Cap in, or Mitchell calls him in, and says, look, we want to make this recommendation, but
of course, you tell the general, sir.
Fine.
Would you like me to get him out?
Yeah, I'll just send him out. And, if you put it to Cap,
one thing I feel strong, obviously we can't bust it.
The busing
and forced integration in the House.
The President just feels on this matter of forced integration that he will, as a matter of principle, will not appoint anybody to the court who believes in it.
I expect
him. If you do, then you must not accept the appointment. Because that should be understood. Obviously we're not influencing your decisions, we're determining your philosophy.
If I can convince Mitchell, I want Paul. If I can convince the bar, for the reason that it's easiest to confirm. He'll confirm he is a Southerner, and he is conservative. You're in great shape with
your first replacement being black, because you clearly got to go for a Southerner now.
Oh, yeah, got each other.
You have a Southerner on the court.
Because whatever happens in the election, we will change the court. I will name three. Some Potter Stewart now and then hangs around. We'll get Harlan too, so I will have named four, and then Potter Stewart becomes a swing man. He's a goddamn weak reader, I must say, but we can only get one more, and we'll have a court.
I still think the odds are awful good you're going to get another
one. What do you mean, but one of them gets sick? He'll just die in a year.
Don't die in a year. Douglas or Marshall,
well, I think Douglas is that sick.
Of course, Douglas, I'm sure, will just hang on by the last chair he's got, just not to give you the appointment. It would just, even both Douglas and Marshall will.
Yeah.
Where Black is resigning, I think Douglas and Marshall, if they were totally incapacitated on their deathbed, they wouldn't give you the appointment until they died.
Well, Black would hang on to it because...
Black's a more honorable man, though.
Yeah. He's straight up.
See, those two are not have no trace of honor.
After I see him, I'd like to... Is Ehrlichman around today?
I am, sir.
I think he isn't, but it wasn't yesterday. I'd like to talk to him and Weinberger about the OEO extension and the signs and Stanz's business on small business, minority business. I'd like to talk to Ehrlichman, Schultz, and Weinberger on personnel cuts.
from there, and he must be right on the bus. That issue,
certainly. Okay, I think the busing, force integration, housing issue, Bob, the biggest issue the court has to deal with.
Well, really good to start busing in the